And you're going to edit out a lot of this, right?
Look, I just want to keep asking questions. And when I start to feel that I'm asking questions, and I get it, when you ask so many questions, people are going to say, hey, why do you keep asking all these questions? I feel like I'm on the right track. But I also feel like there may be some that don't want that track. And I want to know why. I guess I'll never know, but I want to know why they don't like that track. Is it triggering to them? Or is it just a topic that they think is not a good one to have because it could mess yourself up?
I think people are afraid to ask questions, generally. Don't you? I think people are afraid to ask questions because maybe they don't want to know the answer, or because figure asking questions, you might end up getting answers that make you question things that you identify with, and then all of a sudden your entire world is fucking up in turn.
You may be comfortable with a reality, and you're going to find that that reality is not true, and then you're not going to know what to do.
Exactly.
But that, I feel like that goes back to what I was talking to Eric about before, about not having free will. And if it's already been decided for you, then what do you care what the answer is? Or is it because it's already decided for you and your reality is what it is? Even if it's not reality, you're willing to just accept it. My problem is I'm not.
Well, I would say that it's like when people ask, like for example, someone might say, oh, well, why are you even talking about this? Or it's already been talked about, whatever, I don't know. Each person should critically think through things and think about things. And like, I remember listening to that episode with Eric. It was really interesting. I tend to think, though, that even if things are predetermined, which I'm not going to say they are or they're not, but even if they are, we don't know what that predetermination is. And so you want to discover what it is. You want to discover where your path is. And so you talk about it and you think through it. And if it is predetermined and you're not going to change anything, well, then it doesn't matter anyway. At least you're understanding. And if it's not predetermined, which is where I probably lean towards, at least to an extent. See, I would say there's a hybrid. I would say that some things are predetermined and some things aren't. For example, it was predetermined in a way that I came to the parents that I did at the time that I did. I had absolutely no free will in that thing. I had no say in when I showed up on planet Earth. I could have showed up in planet Earth when it was fucking, you know, somebody else.
It's okay. I mean, we are walking the streets. You see people on bikes, people mowing their lawns, a dog that comes out occasionally just to guard the front lawn, front area. People walking, arguing, getting along. This is real life. This is what it's really about.
Since you and I have...
Sorry that I question. I'm sorry that I do, but I do.
Yeah, well, who are you apologizing to? Yourself? I don't think you should apologize. Well, why are you apologizing to me? I like the questions. For example, like, let's say your Cave in the Light episode. I listened to that episode. I thought it was really interesting. And some might say, hey, that fucking conversation is 1,000 years old. Why are you still having that conversation?
Because I've never had it.
But I haven't had it. I haven't had it with this person. Maybe you've had it with 1,000 people, but have you had it with the other 8 fucking 7.999 something billion? No. And I think that it assumes that you can't learn anything new from somebody. I think that's a shame. I think that, dude, let me tell you a story.
I mean, I guess we can stop riding bikes because people have ridden them before.
Exactly. Like, you know, I don't need to go on this walk because it's all, you know, this.
I've already walked. Walked yesterday.
Yeah.
No, I have to walk. We have to walk.
Yeah, I don't need to go to the gym. I don't, because I already went yesterday. Once I've gone once, I think that's bullshit. Look at this nice garden.
All right, let me set the stage. Can I at least set the stage?
Yeah. Set the stage.
There's one there. Here's the stage. I'm walking with my really good friend Nasser because I had some questions. I'm being selfish in this sense because I want to know if I'm on the right path, because I have listened to some people that have said, and I've forgotten what my goal was, but I have listened to people that have said, hey, this is concerning. Maybe the topic of conversation is too dark or too deep, and not deep intellectually, but just too dark, too intense. And initially, I think, uh-oh, maybe I didn't catch that cue. But then I think, well, I want to ask some more questions. Why a topic that isn't so dark for me is dark for some? What do you think, Nasser?
Oh man, that's a whole nother question. Why is a topic that's dark for some not dark for others? Or why can some people have a conversation about some things and some people can't? I think that a lot of people like to live on the surface because the surface is, you know, it's relatively safe on the surface because you can see everything in front of you, behind you. You can look behind, you can look left and right. You know, you don't have to hold your breath. People like to talk about sports more than anything. There's nothing people like to hang out and chat about more than fucking sports. And, you know, that is fun. I like doing that also, you know, it's cool. I like playing fantasy football. It's a pastime. It's a way to pass the time. I also think that having conversations that ultimately, you know, are difficult to have. I think it would be silly to say that they're not difficult, but you're just saying that even though they're difficult, I think you're saying you get something good out of it, right?
Even if it is difficult. I mean, it's difficult to get a car out of the mud, but you get a car out of the mud.
Right. Yeah, that's a good example. Anything worthwhile is difficult to do.
Okay.
And so I think
the question then becomes, is learning about ourselves worthwhile?
Yeah, I'd say yes. Absolutely. I think that's why science is so beautiful. Because it says, you know, there are things that we don't know about, a lot of things, more things than we do know. And so the best way to find out about things is to just ask about them and then to make hypotheses about why things might be they are and then test them. Like, how can, you know, a life where you just talk about sports only and you never ask, like, hey, like, why are we here, or what is my place here, or
why do the sun and the moon shift positions in the sky?
Yeah, it just seems, and I don't mean to place a judgment on anybody's interest, but that to me seems like a waste of life.
Socrates would agree.
Yeah, I mean, like, and everybody is on a different stage of their journey. So, like, whenever you can talk to somebody about these questions, like, everybody's, like, in a different evolution of their own, like, journey, because they have a lifetime of experiences that have shaped who they are. And then most of the time, who people are is very much related to what they think and what their ideas are. So it's challenging to ask questions about why things are, because that might shape who we are. And if it challenges who we think we already are, that can completely rock somebody's, like, psyche. It can create depression. It created, you know, for me, I remember growing up as a, you know, as like a believer of the Muslim religion and like, and definitely in God. And science was not like a big thing in my life. And I remember I was dating this woman whose brother found out that at the time I didn't really believe in evolution. And he was like blown away. He couldn't believe it. And I didn't understand why that was so hard for him to understand. But now that I've found a lot of love in science, I can understand it. At the same time, you know, I've changed a lot of times. Like, I went from believing in God to thinking, you know, that's bullshit. There can't be a God. And now I think, well, there absolutely has to be something bigger and greater than me. I just don't know how that manifests itself. I think that God is everything and all things, right? So anyway, it's hard to both go about life confidently and admit to yourself that you don't know anything. Or that you were wrong about something.
Yeah. That's the hardest part, admitting you're wrong. What are you wrong about?
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, like, I was, like, right now, what am I wrong about? I mean, maybe I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't know the things that I'm wrong about right now. Maybe they would need to be introduced.
But you can admit that there's things that you're wrong about that you just don't know that you're wrong about.
I'm 100% confident
that there are things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There have been my entire life. But one thing,
they just keep popping up.
You brought up patience earlier and the importance of patience. That continues to be something that I know is like, and it's not just like patience with others. It's patience with yourself. It's patience just like, that's such like an important word. How often are you impatient with yourself and get frustrated at yourself because you think you are trying to do something and maybe it doesn't work out that way, or, you know?
Often.
And what do you do when that happens?
Panic. Yeah. Well, no, what I try to do is start to say, wait a minute, this is just going to go downhill real quick.
So I
either go turn off the main water hose because the pipe broke, or I sit here and keep complaining.
Okay. So, and right now, would you agree that right now you're complaining? You're sitting here continuing, you're walking, continuing to complain because you're talking about it. That's all I mean.
I guess you could say it's complaining. Maybe that would be the negative look at it.
Well, the only reason I mention that is because earlier, you had some second thoughts about the podcast, right? That you expressed?
Just second thoughts about whether or not it's having the right effect. Because the effect was to create a dialogue that could then hopefully create a conversation, or at least a thought in one person, positively at all times.
So what are some of the...
If it creates a negative thought, then maybe that's not the goal.
Okay, well, do you think that your goal and execution can be that ultimately it would create something positive, but that even with that said, it could still have a negative effect on some listeners?
So in essence, you're going to have to take the fat with the meat.
Yeah.
I haven't considered that. I guess I think when you shoot a free throw, it either goes in or it doesn't. It's free to speak.
But you don't play just one game a year.
Or just one shot?
Yeah, you don't just shoot one shot.
Well, sometimes you only get one shot.
Do not miss your opportunity. Yeah.
It only comes once in a lifetime.
You gotta lose yourself. Anyway. I don't know all the lyrics. Sorry, Eminem.
The moment you want it,
you better never let it go. You only got one shot to not miss your chance to blow.
This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I've been booed off stage. I don't remember the lyrics, but anyway, it's a good song. Good job, Eminem. People didn't like Eminem. You know why? Because Eminem talked about things.
What people?
And he thought, oh, you don't remember?
Everybody liked him.
What?
Everybody, the people liked him. The regulatory bodies did not.
The regulatory bodies definitely did. There are a lot of moms that didn't like him too.
Yeah. Everyone's not going to like the music that the kids listen to, because it's always going to be a different language than ours. We take years trying to teach our kids something and then they go and learn their own language. It just kind of upsets you. Best thing to do is to really just kind of learn the language and then decide, is it really bad or not?
Well, we like to have, how much control do we have over our own life, let alone to control another, even the kids?
That's too much. That's way too much.
You know what? And sometimes, we got to talk about one of these days on one of these walks with you. This is a good idea for us to walk and do.
Why don't you talk about it?
Well, because I wanted to be more natural, but dude, we were talking about groupthink. I was going to be one of the ones we talked about.
Well, here's the thing. I guess if you look at it from trying to figure out how other people think by questioning individuals, it becomes difficult when you start to figure out there may be a group involved. Groupthink.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
What do you think, Nasser? What do you think about individuals deciding how they're going to have an opinion based on what the group they belong to believes, and not necessarily their own opinion.
See, and I think that's the exact reason why this podcast and why these conversations, not just the, why it's conversations what? Like this have a lot of value.
Why
because,
is that?
Because to have two people talking, or a group of people talking, have conversation where everyone is being intellectually honest with the things that cross their mind means that they're willing, I think, to question things at all time, even if that questioning somehow upsets the political order of the group. Now, in my opinion, the biggest issue with group thinking and group dynamics is that people are not willing, whether consciously or unconsciously, to upset the political dynamic of the group. And therefore, critical thinking, instead of being applied to the issue, is applied to how one can better navigate the group. And when it, and that can be very dangerous. So I don't like how group thought impacts the individual. Although, I mean, I admit that it has its advantages for the group.
Yeah, if you're out in the wild.
Yeah.
We should all run left when there's a lion.
You don't want to be the only guy that runs right.
Unless the lions have already known that they should go that way. Maybe I just go this way.
Or if there's like a fucking...
Should I tell the others? Actually, what if I know that the lions instinctively go to their right, and our group believes we should always go to our left, so that's their right. And I find out that the lions are actually trained that way. And I could tell the group, hey, if we run this way, we'll be fine. But what if they don't believe me? Am I then responsible, or can I just go along with my plan?
So you know for a fact.
I believe for a fact.
You believe for a fact that if... and you believe because of why again? You have reliable information?
I climbed over the hill and found that these lions were actually coming from a training area with these humans. They may not even know of us, but they always attack them to go to the right, probably because there's a big obstruction in their practice field, and they always have to go to the right. So whenever they see a human or a humanoid, they obviously always go to the right.
And nobody has seen this training facility but you.
No, I believe I'm the only one, because when everybody said we should all run to our left, which is, you know, the lion's right, nobody spoke up and said, hey, I have different information. So either my eyes are deceiving me, or I have some valuable information for the group.
And so you decided to share it with the group, and you told them about your
training. I'm deciding whether I should or shouldn't share it with the group, because if I've shared it in the past and it was met with negative results, maybe I'm not so quick to share again.
Yeah, that, I mean, I could understand that. I think in that situation, you know, if you know what you can do to save the group from a lion, you might want to share it, even if you think they're going to meet it negatively. At the same time, I think your obligation to those people has ended once you've shared it. If they don't want to follow that advice, that's up to them. Now you could be like, oh, like, you know, I could help you find this place if you want to go confirm my findings.
But what if me telling them disrupts the whole scenario and maybe even stops my plan from working? Because what if there's a lot of people that think they know what the lions are going to do, and they have their own opinions? Are we supposed to listen to everybody? Maybe everybody thinks they know the truth.
I think we should listen. Now, do we have to follow? That's a different question. But I think if somebody brings up like an idea, and they are able to, you know, describe in a good way and succinctly and in an understandable way their idea, I'm open to listening. But my point is like, I think if someone has thought through something and they want to talk through their process, like, who am I to say I'm too good to listen? Right, I don't know everything.
Right. But what if it's just all coming from one group? Have you lost the individual?
Maybe. Let's go up this hill. Do you think
there's
that
another opening on the other side?
Not this one.
There's one right. You see where those two little lamps right here at the end of this porch, where that little, where that yellow cone is.
My fucking phone died.
What's that?
My phone died.
Oh.
I'm trying to understand the question that you asked about the group and the individual. Is your question that necessarily an individual that's part of a group is just saying the same thing the group says? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they choose the group's ultimate opinion on a matter over their own, even if it's different.
They choose the group's... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do think that happens a lot.
So sometimes it could be difficult talking to the individual because it's tough to determine whether or not their opinion is coming from them or their group. But then who am I to say that anyways? Where's my opinion coming from? I think it's coming from me, but maybe I belong to another group of overthinkers, you know?
I don't have a problem. I think it's okay to adopt the opinions of a group sometimes. Like, I don't think that that's like... I think group opinion is a natural thing. Group dynamic is natural. And sometimes it's probably helpful. Like, for example, like... You know, the group would probably say it's not a good idea for you to push someone that's standing on the edge of the cliff, right?
Oh, shoot.
This is a bad example. I don't want to talk about this one.
No, tell me the edge of the cliff. Sorry, I got a pebble in my...
No, I think shoot. It's a bad example.
No, give me the example.
Oh, hold on.
I want to punch you in the face.
No, but I don't really have an example. I was going to make one up as I went.
So?
All right, I'll try to make one up as I go.
Can you do this? Can you do me this favor?
Yeah.
Can you think of a story where you chose your own thoughts over what you thought you were supposed to think and it turned out well for you?
Oh, and it turned out well for me. That's funny.
You can't?
Yes, I can. When I was younger, I recorded an album with a band that I had. And we ultimately posted the album to one of our local message boards just to kind of get, you know, you share your music with people. I just thought, oh, you know, we did this, we share your music. Great, you know. Anyway, look, I wasn't that great. We weren't that great. It's the truth. It's not like we were that great. But we got a lot of pushback from it. A lot of people talked shit. And then there was a comment. The one comment that had a hint of positive was really just a backhanded slight. It said, well, the recording is really good or was really well done. So at least you could give them that. And of course, we weren't the ones that did the recording. He knew that Paul Chesterton did because it was on the CD. Paul did do a great job recording. I felt really like shit. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I felt stupid and not really like very good at music, which is true. I wasn't very good. But anyway, that's not the point. In the basically 2 decades that followed that, I sometimes lost the guitar and other times found it again. But I never completely gave it up. And in the pandemic time, I really found it again. And I started just like going on YouTube and I would like learn songs. Like, I would watch people play YouTube and I would learn how they were playing songs. And like, it was just a way to give my life force to something that gave me some patience and focus and peace. Like, it requires patience to learn a new skill. And that's not something that anyone can, you can't get that from being rich. You can't buy learning a skill. You have to spend the time and the energy to get it. Now, of course, you can pay for lessons. I never had lessons, but you know, YouTube is great. What I gained from that is now, and every time I've picked up the guitar and I actually am playing for the joy of playing, you know, I'm not just like, I don't know, like sometimes you do something and you're not really half in it, but if I really do it, which is a lot of the time for me, that in and of itself is the reward. That feeling of peace that I get that centeredness. I feel better about myself. And you know what? I'm still not that great at the guitar. When I see other people playing that are really like, you know, even just like a, like I'm not even like a black belt. I'm not, right? Like I'm not even probably a brown belt. I'm probably like a purple belt at the guitar, if that. And mind you, there's multiple degrees of black belt. Once you get black, there's hundreds after that of degrees. So I'm like still on the bottom end of being in playing guitar. But even though other people have made me feel like shit for doing it at times and made me feel less than, and even though they were successful sometimes at making me feel that way, my persistence and patience with myself has given me an outlet. And so that's for me, like if you like doing something, if you enjoy doing something and it gives you focus and peace and you find something in yourself, you find that joy of creating something, then I think that even if people say you suck, even if people make you feel like shit, you should do it.
As long as it's helping you.
As long as it's helping you.
It's a big hill to climb.
Yeah, it is.
No, the one we're facing right now.
I thought it was a rhetorical. Metaphoric. It was both reality and metaphor.
Yeah, well, let's metaphorically and physically.
Take a picture of this hill.
No, let's talk
this
about it.
This could be the cover of this episode.
Your voice will be the cover, sir.
Ooh, that's very, what is that called, synesthesia?
I'll have to bring a thesaurus.
That's when you're, that's when you, for example, describe a sound with an image, or an image with a sound. You know, it's one sensory over another.
I'm with you. Thing.
Oh.
So I think you're right. I think not everything's for everyone. I think goals need to be adjusted, shifted, and shaped. Setbacks need to be set aside. And just go what we got. You're going through it, go with what you got. What else is there, Nasser?
Well, I think like other times that like more specific to group dynamic, I think like wouldn't just be like the criticism, but like, now I would think that the conversation would be about, I think my example was a little far field from your initial question, because I think a better response would have been harder to think of. For example, one that referenced being against the majority of my friends in around 9/11, when the people that I grew up around were all screaming, oh, they're fucking terrorists, we hate that fucking Arabs and the Muslims. And I was like, wait a minute, my fucking family are Muslims and from Iran, and I know a lot of these people and they're good people. And it didn't get me anything good at that time as a young kid. It got me in a lot of arguments and debates, and it lost friends, and it's continued to this day. So, you know, I think when it comes to those kinds of issues, like I think one thing that has to be accepted is that whenever you are a truly independent thinking person, that act isolates yourself from others.
Look at you. Got over that hill, did you?
Good for you, dude. We both did. Nice job.
That was a little rough one. All right. So they're going to build a railroad here, huh?
I guess so.
High speed rail, I see. It's coming.
When do you think actually it will be in running? Do you think we'll be...
Within 10 years.
Still?
Within 10 years.
You think 10 years?
Within.
That's very...
Technology is going up, and the demand for us doing in-house is going up as well. And we have supply for people to do it. So it's going to... I think there's going to be a push for a lot of domestic stuff. And I've already seen a lot of work on the edges over in the outskirt towns. We're not going to build all those bridges without any roads. The rest of it may be legal. Some kind of red tape, money. But it's not that they can't. Physically, it can get done.
Do you
get humans to agree. Another question, young Padawan.
Do You think we've got the money to do it in this state?
Well, we have people. They need stuff to do.
It's true. Sick. That's worthy of a picture, I'd say.
Take it right here.
My phone's dead.
Oh, Lord.
Starting to warm up a little, huh? What do you think? It's just because we're moving.
We're moving.
I'm actually sweating.
Well, we went up the hill twice.
Want to do it one more time?
No. I know my limits for my knees, or...
Fair enough. The going down is the harder part for me.
Right.
The knees.
Okay.